what it would have to do. The rest of her clothes were slashed to pieces. A movement caught Ryan's attention, and he found a biker still breathing, so he slit the rapist's throat with his punga. Cleaning the blade on the man's shirt, the one-eyed man noticed a colorful tattoo on the dead man's chest, a knife stabbing the sun. Exactly the same as the cold hearts from the Ohio Redoubt. Different styles of car seats lined both of the long metal walls. Resting on some bricks, a small block V8 engine, gutted of all moving parts, served as a cook stove, with some chicory browning in a low pan. Mixed with burned breadcrumbs, it made crude frontier coffee that was better than nothing, but not by much. A wide rack for long blasters stood in the corner. Two bolt-action Browning rifles and a semi-auto M1 carbine rested there. Ammo boxes were stacked neatly on an iron shelf. A couple of poorly cured animal skin rugs were on the metal floor, the fur coming off in patches. Brittle yellow centerfolds adorned the ceiling.
Holy shit, I don't believe it!
Monk cried out from his vantage point on a stool near a peephole in the wall. A lit cig dropped from his lips. Long Tom reclined in a bucket seat and was paring his fingernails with a bowie knife.
What? Are they done already? Can we have her now?
I want her back.
More than 7 feet tall, Rennie sat on the back seat of a car, as no regular single seat could accommodate him. A screwdriver was nearly lost in his hands as he delicately worked on a carburetor. The fat redhead almost sputtered in his hurry.
They more than done. A couple of walkers just aced Bob and his boys.
All work stopped.
Balls.
Long Tom smirked, rising from his seat. Fumbling with a new cig, Monk moved aside.
See for yourself.
Ignoring the stool, Long Tom bent to the peephole, then spit a virulent curse.
Damnation. It's true. Walker's got to quim and Bob's eating dirt.
Monk cracked his knuckles nervously.
Must be Ken come to the rescue.
At the gun rack, Long Tom grabbed a Browning and worked the bolt. He tossed it to Monk and took the M1 carbine for himself. Rennie stood, his shaved skull brushing against the high ceiling.
Don't know, don't care. It's killing time. Yeah, bastards deserve to die for what they did to Bob.
Monk checked his weapon and exhaled a stream of white smoke.
Hell, everybody deserves to die. Amen.
Rennie shouldered his weapon.
Let's go tell the boss.
With the Steyr up and ready, Ryan walked around the white building, with Dean and the blonde close behind. The boy had his Mossberg clenched in one hand and an arm around the waist of the partially clad woman. Her legs trembled from the exertion of walking, and she stumbled constantly. The woman slowed.
Wait! The gas! My weapons must have them!
Ryan listened for the sounds of motorcycles.
We're not going back. You want to, fine, but you go alone.
Then stop at my bike.
Where is it?
His good eye squinted against the setting sun. She pointed.
Near the pumps. Front of building. We pass it on our way.
Ryan was already moving in that direction. There was nobody in sight. Quiet ruled, except for the cicadas.
Clear.
Pushing herself free from Dean, the woman fell more than walked to her BMW motorcycle. Quickly, she made sure the motorcycle was in functioning shape, then pulled a Mac-10 from her saddlebag, worked the bolt, and slung it over her shoulder. She took tallow from a med kit and put it on her eye and lips, then used her torn shirt to wipe away the blood and semen between her legs. Only then did she retrieve clothes from the other bag and clumsily dress in a khaki shirt and denim pants. Apparently, she had no spare underwear or boots. Gingerly, the woman climbed aboard the motorcycle. Sliding aside a trick panel in the heavily cushioned seat, she pulled out a key and started the engine. Only a nearly invisible vibration in the motor and wisps of exhaust from the camo-colored tailpipes showed the bike was running. She sat there for a moment, as if absorbing strength from the machine. A stick cracked amid the foremost line of deteriorating cars. Dean and Ryan pivoted in combat stances.
You have clothes, blaster, and bike. That's enough. Time to go, miss.
Lady.
She rubbed her mouth with a hand, and it came away, streaked with blood.
I am Amanda Coltier, Lady Ward of Novaville, heiress to the Citadel. After my brother, naturally.
The Cotters didn't reply.
And you are?
Ryan.
Dean. Why the rush?
How much did they know of what was going on in the valley?
Those men are dead.
Wrong. They were part of a gang, and more could be coming.
She glanced sideways.
So you have heard about the Sons of the Knife?
The lie came easy because it was partially true.
Yeah.
She moved to the tip of the cushioned seat.
Come then. It'll be a squeeze, but we can all fit on my bike. After what you did, it's the least I can do, and my bike is much faster than walking. Hop on.
Dean started forward, but Ryan stopped him.
We have our own transport.
Really? Then may I travel with you for a ways? For protection, until I'm closer to my vill?
How do you know we're going that way?
Beautiful or not, he was getting a bad feeling from this woman. She was amazingly clean in a world of scabs and dirt, and yet behaved like a gaudy slut. It was confusing. Dean decided to take his father's lead in the matter.
The road has only two directions, and you've already been to the wheel.
Wheel?
The city.
They started off.
By the way, can my bike fit inside your truck?
Ryan didn't correct the guess.
You can ride alongside.
She smiled demurely, as if a hostess offering a guest a sweetmeat, and fluttered a hand.
And what if, after my ordeal, I'm too weak to ride?
Tough.
Dean continued through the weeds. He was liking this woman less and less by the word. Amanda sat there for a minute. The two outlanders kept walking away as if she were no more than a common quiff. It was outrageous. Men and women died to be with her, killed kin to lie with her, and they turned their backs? Wordlessly, she stepped off the bike and pushed it across the concrete apron and into the rustling morass of dry weeds and rotting tires. She was hard-pressed to keep with them. They moved as fast as panthers, pausing for nothing and never looking backward to keep track of her progress.
A vill ruler off by herself?
I'm on a mission. I stopped here for gas, relaxed my guard for just a second, and they jumped. Never got off a shot.
Not wise to ride solo. Everybody gets tired, and tired is dead.
Amanda pulled her hair over the left side of her face to hide the bruising.
Or worse. They hadn't started on me yet, not really. And if they knew who I was...
Not friendly neighbors?
Sworn enemies. They stalk this road and rob travelers of goods and life. A major priority was to see if I could find a way to deal with them.
Deal?
Kill.
A lone woman tackle a whole gang? Dean said nothing, but it raised his suspicions.
What was the other part?
Ryan was half listening to her, but also closely watching the shadows under the vehicles around them. Time was pressing, but he knew it was better to get her story while she still felt gratitude toward them. Soon enough, pragmatism would return. This section of Deathlands wasn't hard hit by either radiation or the acid rains, so it seemed as if every madman and mutie had run here to claim new territory. He needed to know what was what, so they could get out intact. She could think of no reason to lie, so told them the truth. They had saved her life.
I left the vill to try and sneak into the wheel and deal with the problem of the tank commander who rules the city.
Kill.
Amanda switched off the bike.
No. Negotiate a treaty, pay him off, seduce him, marry if needs be. Anything to bring peace between the wheel and Novaville.
Knowing the info was totally wrong, Ryan said nothing, waiting to see if she would volunteer any additional data.
Well, it's dead. Wasn't a norm or a mutie, but a machine, and we killed the thing. That is, my father dropped a building on it. Smashed flatter than dust.
Turning toward them, Amanda tugged on her collar, exposing a great wealth of cleavage. Unmoved by the display, Ryan thought the seduction tactic odd for a woman who had just been brutally assaulted. Dean swallowed hard.
Interesting, if true. And yes, I can see by the expression in your face, sir, that it is true. The Beast of the Wheel is no more?
You could say that, yes. Although whether a machine can truly die is beyond me. But it will never work again,